Many say that life is a mystery that we simply have to surrender to. However, when you read my next guest's life story, you'll come to learn that when you manage and learn from what life brings to you, the idea of surrender will not even ever be needed. His story has placed him among two elite classes, as an NFL player, then later as a NASA astronaut. He shares the challenges and lessons of those what people call glamour spots in life, as well as the people and teammates who have added to his life in his book, Chasing Space, an astronaut's story of grit, grace, and second chances. After playing in the NFL, he went on to join the NASA program. He was one of the few civilians who flew the space shuttle mission, spent time on the International Space Station. Leland Melvin, thanks for being here today, sir.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
And Leland's website is the obvious, LelandMelvin.com. Leland is also coming into our neck of the woods this coming Tuesday at 6 p.m. That's May 23rd at Bookends, 211 East Ridgewood Avenue in Ridgewood, New Jersey, where you can get the rare opportunity to meet an astronaut. And if you're an autograph collector, they are one of the more sought-after autographs as well. So you can come up with a win-win situation, as I like to say. And having read Chasing Space, Leland, to say the least, becoming a part of NASA and certainly becoming part of the astronaut program, that was not on your list of things to do in this lifetime, was it?
It wasn't at all. I mean, I never imagined myself, you know, being one of those the right stuff people growing up in a small town in Lynchburg, Virginia, where I, you know, my influences were really school teachers around me. Both my parents were middle school teachers. And so I never saw scientists and engineers, really, and especially military test pilots. And so that was not something on my radar to be as a career.
What was it, when you look back, and certainly when you sit down to write a story, what was it that you rediscovered that you look back and say, you know what, that was the person, that was the event, that was the turning point?
You know, I really think back to my football days in high school, where my coach believed in me after I dropped a touchdown pass at our homecoming game. And you know, usually when you drop a touchdown pass in your hands in the end zone at a homecoming game that could have won the game, you get pulled out by your face mask and get put on the bench. But instead of that happening to me, my coach grabbed me by my face mask, looked me in my eyes, Jimmy Green said, "Leland, I believe in you. Get back out there and catch the ball." We did the same play, this time catch the ball. And that put in me this sense of confidence that even if I failed at something, people were there to still believe in me and to allow me to continue to, you know, go on that same journey. And the second time I caught the ball, we won the game. And unbeknownst to me, there was a scout from University of Richmond in the stands looking to see if I could play football at the University of Richmond. When I dropped that pass, he walked out of the stadium. The second time he heard the crowd screaming, saw him in the end zone doing a little dance and said, maybe that guy can play for us. And that one catch resulted in a $180,000 scholarship to the University of Richmond. So that taught me a lesson in not giving up, having perseverance, having grit, determination. And if you do fail at something, you can pick yourself back up and keep going.
Well, that brings the question, too, with that story and many others that you have in Chasing Space. Who do you think eliminates a person more often? Is it other people or is it that person?
I think it depends on the environment the person's in. If they've been given, you know, a lot of negative inputs and energy about themselves and their self-esteem, it could be the individual not believing in themselves, but it could also be a parent or a teacher or a peer, you know, telling someone that you're not any good at that, you won't be any good at that. Like I'm thinking about math, you know, as a kid who grew up loving math and science, I've seen where parents have told kids that, hey, I wasn't any good at math, so if you're not good at math, it's okay. Instead of saying, you know, I wasn't good at math, but you can be good at math. And so I think it depends on the environment that kid grows up in.
Talking with Leland Melvin with his book, Chasing Space, an astronaut story of grit, grace, second chances, LelandMelvin.com, and he's going to be at Bookends at 211 East Ridgewood Avenue, Ridgewood, New Jersey, this coming Tuesday night at 6 p.m., and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. What, in those early days of the astronaut program, even at that point, were you, because of your more of a focus on education and science, was that really, okay, I'm in NASA, this is my path? How did the going up there come into the picture?
Well, I was, I was playing football, and then I ended up finishing up my master's degree in material science engineering, went to work at NASA Langley Research Center, and a friend of mine, you know, he told me, he said, "Leland, you'd be a great astronaut." He handed me an application. This was for the 1996 astronaut selection. And I looked at the application, and I didn't fill it out. I sent it down. And that same year, another friend of mine applied to the astronaut corps, and he got in. So once he got in, I said, well, wait a minute. If that guy can get in, maybe I can get in too. So the next, the 1998 class selection, I applied and I got in. And it was one of these things where during that selection process, I saw all the things that astronauts were doing besides flying in space. You know, they were reaching out to kids and inspiring them with stories. And, you know, they were supporting other astronauts. They were helping, you know, other parts of NASA and other parts of the programs and training all over the world with people, you know, that we used to fight against. And it was just this incredible experience that I never really knew about until my friend Charlie Camarda got into the astronaut corps. And he actually flew back to Langley with John Young, who flew every vehicle known to humankind. He also was the first commander of the space shuttle Columbia, and was, you know, a moonwalker. So with that kind of storied legacy coming back and talking to me about, you know, these stories and these things, it gave me even more resolve to want to be part of that very elite club.
Your book, Chasing Space, and really as well, maybe even up to this point, more known, certainly people become knowing of your story once they read your book, but Hidden Figures, the film, has brought to light the issue of race and challenge within the society that's NASA. And do you think your story, much like Hidden Figures seems to have at least started to do, can bring about a conversation of how opportunity should be dictated and offered by ability and desire, and how the unfairness of race in the past that has to be pushed into the past and eliminated from the present and future?
Yeah, well, I mean, I had a conversation with Katherine Johnson yesterday, and, you know, she's 98 years old. She was the star of Hidden Figures, and you know, and I talked about some of those things that happened back in the past in the 50s and the 60s at NASA. And she said that, you know, she kept a positive attitude. She did have the access. So that's one of the things. She was giving access and opportunity because she had the talent and the skills. And so for our kids today, you know, there's still all these isms that are still going on in our country even now. But I think if we allow people to have the access to the opportunities, and that means allowing them to get the skill set so that they can compete in the environment so that they can be successful also, is the key to it. And that involves, you know, education. That involves allowing people that don't have, like in the zip code, to don't have the technology and the computers and all these different things, to make sure that we can get those things to those kids so they can have those opportunities.
But then on the flip side, isn't it also a fact of life that, you know, like it or not, fair or unfair, there's going to be a certain time in life and certain points in life when you are going to have to fight harder than others to get to where you want to be and to attain and achieve what you want?
And that's where the grit and determination comes in. I mean, I remember, you know, there were times when I lost my hearing and I was, you know, fighting to get back on flight status. And, you know, lots of things in the book that it talks about not giving up. And Angela Duckworth in her book Grit talks about how if you can get someone inspired to see this goal out on the horizon that they want to do, and then help them get the tools to help make that, you know, become a reality, that puts in someone this determination to make it happen, no matter how unfair it is, no matter how many, you know, job opportunities that you don't get because of your, for whatever reason, but figuring out a way to go around the system to be successful and achieve the things that you want to achieve.
Wrapping our time with Leland Melvin with his book, Chasing Space, an Astronaut Story of Grit, Grace, and Second Chances, here on Issues and Ideas. Looking ahead, I mean, what was your, just about a couple of minutes left here, what was your reaction when the previous administration, not to inject politics in this, but the previous administration pulled the plug on the shuttle program, and what are your hopes of what at least is initially being talked about moving forward with the space program, which seems to be more of a co-op of both NASA as well as private technology and equipment at this point?
Well, when we pulled the plug on the space shuttle program, the space shuttle had achieved its mission of helping build the International Space Station. So that's We needed that heavy lift capability to put up the Columbus module, which we installed on my missions, and all these other spare parts and all these other things. So once assembly was completed, STS-135, the mission of the shuttle was really over unless we wanted to just stay in low Earth orbit. So we couldn't, you know, have that, you know, mass of people and infrastructure to just keep going back and forth to the space station. And so now we're building other rockets. We're supporting Elon Musk and SpaceX and Virgin Galactic and all these other people to help us get things up to space station. And now we can focus on our efforts to go past low Earth orbit. So we have the Orion capsule can go back to the moon. You know, maybe with another configuration of it can get to Mars. And so I think that was the right thing to do to end the space shuttle program so that we could go further than this 240-mile outpost. And the second question was?
Looking forward with at least the initial plans and goals of, you mentioned Mars exploration and further deep space exploration, lunar base, et cetera, is that something realistic? And is that something that science has to battle and even cooperate with politics to bring all that out, to make all that happen?
Well, that's funny. I call that section political science, the politics of science.
Yes.
And the things that are going on with Elon Musk right now is with SpaceX. I mean, he's talking about getting to Mars in the 2030s. And, you know, the budget that just happened over the Trump administration, $19.5 billion to send humans, you know, to Mars in the 2030s. But I do think we should maybe look at going back to the moon and building a habitat there for helping us understand how to live off of our planet for an extended period of time, the life support systems, the communication, all these different things, and then maybe look at sending, you know, humans to living on the Martian surface. And we could send humans to orbit Mars and then come home, but that's still a three-year turnaround. So it's a lot of, but you know, here's the thing. If you have the dollars and the resources and you allow people to be creative and do their jobs of figuring these hard problems out, there are solutions to it. So I know that at some point in time we're going to be on the Martian surface with human beings, or on the moon with human beings. And I believe that can happen just like we did when we sent humans to the moon, you know, in less than a decade. In less than 10 years, we had said we want to put a human on the moon, and we did it. And we brought him back safely. And if we can do that, we can do anything.
Leland's book, Chasing Space, An Astronaut Story of Grit, Grace, and Second Chances. You read it starting off by saying, wow, he did that. But when you absorb Leland's life lessons throughout Chasing Space, you're going to look at yourself and say, wow, I can do that. LelandMelvin.com. He'll be at Bookends 211 East Ridgewood Avenue in Ridgewood, New Jersey this Tuesday, May 23rd at 6 p.m. Leland, thanks so much for sharing your story and being a source of inspiration and guidance. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you so much. Godspeed.